raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. The Gospel of the Lord.
Today we have a rare occurrence when All Souls Day falls on a Sunday. It's a rare because All Souls Day is not a solemnity. It's not a feast day. And so the church, not all the church gets to celebrate it every single year. But because it falls on a Sunday, it's rare. Every 7 years or so, we get to celebrate this Mass together. And it is good that the whole church today celebrates this Mass, because we are the ones who are still living, the church militant, the fighting ones. We're still in the battle against temptation to sin and clinging to our Lord and relying on Him for the grace to live this life of holiness. We are the ones who pray for all of our deceased, who pray for all of the souls of the faithful departed, those who are in purgatory. We bring our prayers to the Heavenly Father, and we commend all of our brothers and sisters who have passed from this world and are awaiting to enter into the kingdom of God, to see the Lord face to face, to see the beatific vision, the face of love, which they have all been destined for. Every single soul, every single human life at the moment of conception is destined for heaven. Every single one of us. We are all destined to be with God forever. For this is why we exist. This is why you and I are here presently at this moment. We exist because God loves us. God loves us. He created each and every single one of us simply out of His sheer goodwill, so that you might have life, that you might have life abundantly, that you might be with Him forever in heaven. This is why we exist. None of us ever did anything to deserve life. We never earned it by doing anything. You were just created by God in cooperation with your parents, for the sake of being loved by Him. And so God desires us all to be in heaven. He loves us that much that we might partake in His blessedness, His holiness, to remain in His presence forever, for eternity. We are not destined to remain here on earth. This is not our destiny. We are destined for such greater things, things that we cannot even possibly fathom. This is what God has given to us, and He gives it freely. He gives it freely. Just as we have received life from Him, this gift of eternal blessedness, of eternal celebration, of eternal worship of the Triune God, basking in His glory, is a free gift that we must receive always with open hearts. This is our destiny. But today, we pray for all the souls who are in purgatory, awaiting their moment, awaiting to be received by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we, as the church militant, we come and gather together to pray for all those souls. We pray that they might, their time of purgation, of being purged from every sinful inclination, to be perfected so that they might enter souls that are in purgatory will one day be in heaven. They're not going to go to hell. If you make it to purgatory, you're going to make it to heaven. And so that's good news. But it is a time of purification. It is a time of cleansing. Because if we think of it like this, when we go to confession, when we have all of our sins forgiven, all the sins that we bring before the foot of the cross, before the Father, everything that we are sorrowful for not listening to God's will and following His commands, but choosing our own, when our sins are forgiven, we are washed clean, yes? God forgives everything. He wants to bestow His mercy upon all those who are truly repentant of what they have done. But as you leave confession, you're wiped clean, but you still have this inclination to sin. We are still drawn to the low and earthly goods. We still struggle. We're still in the fight. Purgatory is that time to cleanse us not only of all of our sins, but even perfecting our desires. It's a time of conforming our will, our hearts, to the King of Kings, that we might be perfectly in line with God's desires. This is what purgatory is for. Not just to wash our sins, but to perfect us, to make us like Him, to, in a sense, divinize us, to take on His nature, which we have already taken on. If you heard from St. Paul in that reading, we are sons, adopted children of God in baptism. Our souls forever changed. We take on that nature of God. This is not the work of man, but it is the work of God. Only God can change our souls in that way. And it makes sense when we come to the Eucharist, when we receive Him, His body, blood, soul, and divinity. And divinity. You receive God's divinity in that moment because your souls have been prepared in baptism for it. And so purgatory is this final purification where we are completely perfected and our hearts are made to look like His. And that is the only way we can look at the Lord face to face, to see the beatific vision and remain in His presence for all eternity. Only by God's purifying love can we do this. Not on our own, but God does it for us. He wants to bestow this gift of eternal blessedness for all of us. And sin can never remain in the presence of God. It separates us. If we looked at in the beginning at the garden incident or the garden debacle, whatever you call it, when Adam and Eve were walking in communion with God, communing with Him, talking with Him, remaining in His presence, completely the Lord bestowing all these wonderful gifts on His children that He has made in His own image and likeness, wanting them to remain with Him. But what do? They lack trust in their good and faithful Father. Instead of relying upon Him to bestow them with the knowledge of good and evil, which He wanted to do, instead, they reach out and grasp it and take it for themselves. This prideful disposition led Adam and Eve to believe that they could attain what God wanted to give, what God wanted to bestow on them. This act of disobedience separates us from God. And so, by the sending of His only begotten Son to take on our brokenness, our sufferings, our human nature, and through His death and resurrection, we are brought back. We are brought back into that reconciliation. God wants every single child to be with Him. This is how much He loves all of us. God does not want to remain one second separated from you. He wants you all are we ready for it? Are we ready to die at this very moment? For we do not know when that time will come. We do not know when our life will be over. And so, do we approach every single day with this eager longing, this joyful expectation of what has been prepared for us, of what has been destined for us, or are we fearful? Are we fearful of that moment? Are we afraid to come face to face with the King, the love of our hearts that we are destined for? Are we fearful of it? If so, this is a great moment to ask for God's mercy for your own life, to repent from all the sins that you have done this past week. We do it every single time we begin Mass. We ask for God's pardon and mercy. We bring to Him all of our sins that, out of our ignorance or neglect of choosing our own wills and not His own. And we ask for mercy. We messed up. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that I chose my will and not yours. And our Lord wants to give us that mercy. Our Lord wants to bestow that transformative mercy and love into every heart. And so, when we begin Mass, we ask for it so that we're prepared to receive the Eucharist. So that we're prepared to receive that divinity that God wants to bestow. To always change our hearts. Are we living our lives in this way of relying upon God and His mercy to strengthen us, to change our hearts? Do we live in the midst of hurt and suffering with this joy that is the surest sign of a disciple of our Lord? The joy that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. This joy that radiates to the rest of the world. That we are not destined for this world, but we are destined for such greater things. We are destined.